And I'm thrilled today to be joined by Terry Savage in studio, who just decided to pay me a visit in person today. Terry, hey, how you doing?
I'm glad I'm having dinner downtown tonight, so I thought.
So it wasn't
better,
just for me?
You're my hors d'oeuvre, or as they say in Pennsylvania, you're my crudité.
Oh, that is fun to watch. We talk about that on the Mincing Rascals, by the way, which you can download right now. I was on a guest today with John Williams. By the way, Terry, I hope you don't mind a bit... a point of personal privilege. I just wanted to give a shout out to my dad who retired yesterday. That's where I was. I was not on this show. My dad, after 32 years as the Lincoln Woods first and so far only fire chief in their history.
Oh my goodness. Congratulations to him.
32 years, and he's trained every firefighter and paramedic that's ever served at Lincolnwood Fire Department. And as he said in his speech last night, and as some of our listeners know, he was glad that the training was thorough because my father actually had a stroke a few months ago at the fire station, and the paramedics he trained saved his life. So,
isn't that wonderful?
And he's doing great. So I just wanted to say thanks to everyone, and thanks to Dane Neal for filling in last night. But enough about me, Terry Savage. You ready for some?
I like those happy ending stories.
Yes.
I mean, everybody wants to retire and feel good about it. And I used to think maybe that was impossible. I wrote a book 20 years ago, The Savage Number. How much money do you really need to retire?
Right.
And I was younger and I thought, my God, could anybody be comfortably retired? And I've been around making a lot of speeches since then. And I realized that people who plan and get a pension and have savings and do a plan, a lot of people get to enjoy their retirement. It's not about having a yacht. It's about being able to sleep at night without worrying so much about money.
He does have a fishing boat, but that's all he needs. No
well,
boat talk, me and you, Terry. There
okay.
we go. Let's not get into boats again.
A hole
again.
In the water into which you throw money?
Let's get to Esther on line one. Hello, Esther. How are you?
I'm good. How are you both?
Good. What's your question?
I have a question. My mortgage right now is in an ARM. I know it's probably a no-brainer to make it in a fix, change it, but because it takes a while to do that, and I'm in the middle of doing some home improvements, I've got a lot of equity in my house. Is it smart or not to do some kind of a quick home equity loan first?
I think you need to call, Esther, you need to call our friend David Hochberg.
Yes.
Because the Fed, the news of the day is they revealed the minutes of the last Federal Reserve meeting. And the Fed hasn't said and keeps saying, and all the Fed governors keep making speeches, they're going to fight inflation. They're going to raise rates. They're going to raise rates. Today, the market finally believed them. We're down for the first day in a few weeks. But basically, I don't think you want to have that floating adjustable rate mortgage over your head unless you did it at a time where your rate is like 3% or 2.5%. If that's the case, and you've got a cap on that, then maybe you wouldn't want to refi now. So,
like if you were in a 7-year ARM and you're only at year 3 or something like that?
Yeah, and if there was a cap that it could never go up more than 4 or 5% over the life of the loan, if you started at 3, might be a speculation. Do you know what your current rate is, Esther?
Yeah, 3.87.
How long? Do you have a cap?
I've got 10 years left on a 30-year mortgage.
Wow. Okay, Esther, this would be the time to think about locking in a fixed rate on a 10-year mortgage. Your monthly payment may go up, but you have a lot of equity, so it won't be that big. And you can pay that off by the time you're ready to retire. That's a great moment. So instead of getting a new mortgage for 30 years or even 15 years, call and ask them to quote a fixed rate based on the percent equity you have for 10 years. And it'll be a big payment, but you'll just get it all paid off. That would be a good moment.
Do you got Hochberg's number, Esther?
I do.
All right, 855-568. I don't know how you could listen to the station and not. Thanks for the call, Esther. Yeah, for sure.
Thank you.
All right, got questions coming on the text line, the phone line too, 312-981-7200. Some lines open. Get on right now. First, a quick look at weather and traffic. Terry Savage, the Savage Truth. We got a lot of questions on the text line. You ready for a few of them?
I am ready.
All right, and the phone lines lighten up too. Can Terry talk about early retirement packages? What to expect? What to ask for?
Whoa. It's very hard for me to believe that companies today are being generous with early retirement packages because they need workers so badly. And now they know that productivity fades if they hire inexperienced younger workers. So people who are pre-retirement age are in great demand. And So it's a left field question for me because I can't imagine why or what kind of a company is offering a package. But I'll tell you what you should be thinking. If I take this money, how quickly can I get another job like this with benefits and savings and health care, especially until you reach Medicare age? These are the kinds of things you have to calculate before you even consider accepting a pre-retirement package. But gee, I'm astounded. Post on my blog and give me some details terrysavage.com. And then everybody can go take a look at the answer because I want to know just what industry you're in that they're trying to give you a pre-retirement package. All the headlines are retirees going back to work, not only because they need the money, but because now employers are going, these are smart people who always knew how to work. They'll show up. We'll give them 3 days a week. We really need good people.
Yeah. So. My uncle retired at 58, did a great job, has a pension, and they begged him to come back for a couple days a week, and he loves it.
Yeah.
He's happier. He golfed for a couple years, and that's all he did. And now he's like, all right, I'll go back and work for a couple days a week, earn an extra money, and saving up that way. It's great. Let's go to the phone lines. That's an official transition noise, by the way.
Yeah, there we go.
Let's go to Ben. Ben's on WGN. Good evening, Ben.
Good evening.
What's your question for Terry?
My question is on an HSA health savings plan, if you have it in the bank checking account, can you transition that into an investment fund and earn interest either tax-free or do you pay tax on that interest?
Ooh, interesting.
It depends on the plan your employer sets up. Some just let you set it aside in an interest-bearing type account. Others have more choices for you because over the years, as you know, the money, we're not talking about a reimbursement account, okay? Mm-hmm. We're talking about health savings accounts. So over the years, the money you don't spend can grow. And if you know, there's a couple thousand dollars maybe in there, depending on the size of your family, over the years, it can grow like an IRA. So it depends on the investment choices in your company's plan. It all grows tax deferred, the earnings on it too. You could take it out on a pre-tax basis to pay for medical expenses. And somewhere down the line, you might want to, if you accumulate enough money, you want to maybe buy long-term care insurance or something and use that money that's piled up.
That can count as healthcare?
As a medical expense for an HSA.
That's a great way to use extra HSA money. But if you pull it out and use it for something else, like you want to buy a car?
No. It's this design. This is like an IRA for your future healthcare expenses. What it does to people is, gee, if I'm going to pay the first because you have a high deductible insurance policy goes along with it, and then you go, wait a minute, why am I getting an MRI here when I just heard a commercial maybe on WGN that says we do MRIs for less expensive, and you start making smart healthcare choices when it's not the insurance company paying for it, but it's your money. You could be either not paying and letting it grow tax deferred in an HSA.
Ben, you good with that answer? You need any clarification?
Yeah. Nope, I got it. Thank you very much. I greatly appreciate it.
Of course, Ben. Yeah, HSAs are important to have if you can have one. A lot of companies do offer it with that insurance plan.
It's a combined high deductible policy.
Yes.
So you're going to pay for your first cost. But what you don't spend, you might save.
For sure. Terry says the 815. You said, I love when they start like this.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. What'd I say?
No, I think this is okay. That people with pensions are the ones who get to enjoy retirement. But it seems that those of us who don't have pensions, 95% of us, most definitely won't be, quote, enjoying a comfortable retirement. More of a statement. I guess what you're saying is pensions are great, but you can build it another way.
There are plenty of ways to build retirement income. The best way is probably your 401k plan because there you have some choice over the investments and your employer might match. What I'm trying to say is if you get to retirement with a pile of money that you can either organize yourself or get financial planning advice to structure a payout that gives you a pretty good certainty that your money will last your lifetime, a pension is a great way because you know it'll last your lifetime. It may not have a cost of living increase. And the very best pension is your Social Security check because it is indeed a pension and it has a cost of living increase. It probably won't be a ton of money, but the whole point of getting toward retirement is thinking about multiple ways you can fund your retirement lifestyle.
I have a question for you. I like to play with retirement calculators because I like to take a look at, you know, what I have and how I can grow over the years and what I might have. And most of them, they offer it to you saying, let's not count on Social Security, right? They say, don't count on that money. That's off to the side. And then I plug in Social Security. I feel like I'm doing a lot better than I was before when I didn't count on it. I know you're not a prognosticator with a crystal ball. Do you trust that Social Security will be around for someone who, say, I don't know, 37 years old, 38 years old? Should people budget for not having Social Security?
Well, that's a tough question. I'll give you two answers to it. Social Security will be around because there will be enough older people, not only the baby boomers, but now the millennial generation, which are about the youngest of which are turning 35, that the government eventually, if it has to, will print the money. Now, what that'll be worth, you know what I mean? But I don't know what that'll be worth. But I have always said forever and ever, you should be matching the contributions. Quote, you know what FICA stands for?
No.
It's taken out of your paycheck. That Social Security stands for Federal Insurance Contributions Act, FICA. But thank you for contributing to my retirement because I am now getting that check.
You're welcome.
So here's the point. You take a look at that big hunk that's taken out every year, over $7,000. You should be matching that in your own IRA or 401k. I have never, in all these years of doing this financial stuff, had anyone complain to me that they retired with too much money.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So the answer is, it'll be there in some form, but the most important thing is, especially when you have time on your side, when you're in your 20s, 30s, and 40s, that you save more than you think because time leverages money, especially in a tax-deferred way like your 401k or IRA. And, you know, what's the worst that could happen? You retire with too much money.
Right, exactly. Text from the 815. John, can you ask Terry? I have worked all my quarters in Social Security, fairly low wage. I have also have a university pension, also fairly low wage. I know there is the windfall, but documents, does that apply? I might need some clarification.
Okay. Yeah, this is somebody who's worked for the government, for example, or the state of Illinois or something like that. And there's a horrible provision called the windfall elimination provision,
okay,
which offsets the fact that you may not have had Social Security deducted, but you might have gotten another job and qualified for Social Security. And it's very complex, but I just finished writing a column about Social Security. It'll get posted on my website sometime next week. It'll be in the Tribune this Sunday or next. Anyway, I want you to go to a fabulous website. And someday you've got to interview Larry Kotlikoff, Boston University economist who wrote the book Money Magic, which I think is spectacular.
Write it down already.
And he has a website. Yeah, right. Okay, I'll put you in touch. He's great. And he has a website called MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. It costs $40. A woman posted on my blog and told me about her multiple attempts to get Social Security to explain because she's a widow and so forth. Mm-hmm. She got three different people who gave her three different answers. I put her in touch with Larry's group. And by being forceful about this and getting the right answer, she got an extra $286,000 projected over her lifetime instead of settling for what they first told her.
All right.
MaximizeMySocialSecurity.com. Go there before you make any decisions.
You heard Terry. We're going to take a break, then the news, then more. 312-981-7200. That's our number. Get your questions in. She's only here till 6:45 on WGN. Juanita, how are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm just fine, thank you.
Thank you very much. All right, what's your question for Terry?
What's my what?
Question for Terry Savage.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't hear too well.
That's okay.
I just want to say, what do you do when you're 87 years old and you've already outlived your pension? I was collecting a check once a month for about 22 years, and now here I am just on Social Security.
What kind of pension did you have, Juanita? Was it from a company job you worked at?
Yes, it was.
And was it a 401k where you took too much money out, or was it a promise of lifetime benefits?
You know, no, I have no idea. I don't believe it was a 401. It was just money that I put in and the company matched.
Yeah.
And then I do still have a very small pension that was a lifetime pension that was from a different company years and years ago.
Well, those kinds of plans, Juanita, where you put money in and the company matches it, typically they will give, you know, your life expectancy, you say you're 87.
You sound amazing that, for 87, Juanita.
So young, but your life expectancy that they planned was probably for age 87. You're going to beat the clock for sure. And one of the things they might have done is put you on a scheduled payout that would last until your actuarial life expectancy. So I'm sorry to hear that. And since they've paid it out, there's probably nothing you can do about it. But a reminder to everybody that we all think we're above average, like Juanita, in every other thing. So you might live longer than you plan. And there's a wonderful, not for you now, Juanita, because we know you're beating the clock.
Yeah.
But if you go to living to 100, living T-O, and then the number 100, living to 100, I'm pretty sure it's .com, livingto100.com. If you go there, you will be able to do the calculator that says how old you are now, a lot of things like how old were your parents, your siblings, and then things like do you exercise every week and do you eat green vegetables twice a day and stuff like that. I did this when I was writing that other book. And I came back with a life expectancy of something like 104, and I decided I should really not lie about my exercise and my green vegetables. And so I came back with something much more reasonable, like 95 or 6.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know when you're planning to withdraw money that isn't guaranteed to last your lifetime. You need to make a plan based on what could happen, not what the statistics
right.
say.
So, Juanita, you still have your Social Security, right?
I'm sorry, I missed out. I talked over you. What did you say about it?
So you still have your Social Security and another small pension, right?
Yeah, and let me tell you how I have survived. I have a daughter that put me on her phone bill, so I don't have to pay a phone bill. She also pays for my water delivery for bottled water. And there is various little things that have helped me to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, bless your daughter, because we should all have such supportive children. I was that for my parents. One day my son doesn't have to, but I hope he'll do that for me. And you sound great, Juanita.
Yeah.
Wishing you many more happy years.
And Juanita, you can look forward. It looks like Social Security should go up into next year.
Yeah, probably over 9%. That won't do a lot, but
because it costs more, but at least that's something.
Well,
go ahead.
Can you tell me one thing, Terry? I am on the SNAP program.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what that is, a federal program. And they only allow you so much income a year. And if they raise the Social Security up 10% or 9%, I believe that's going to knock me out of the eligibility for SNAP.
Juanita, believe me, there will be a hue and cry for them to adjust the SNAP benefits in this political year. They'll announce a Social Security COLA in October. Plenty of time before the November election for the president or someone in executive authority
to fix
the limits on the SNAP benefits. But a good point. Thank you. You're really sharp.
She is. Juanita, we got to let you go. Thank you. Okay, good luck.
Thank you very much, Terry. Love you.
Thank you.
Nothing for me there. That's okay. Thanks, Juanita. No, I'm just kidding. Terry, we only have about a minute left. We got a great text I just want to read you, and I think it speaks to a lot of what you speak to. 224, retirement even early can be done. People are too frivolous early in life. We both worked, but we lived as if we only had one salary. Sometimes we scrimped. We saved. We invested. We sent kids to college. Neither of us made over $60,000, but we both retired at 62. Haven't started Social Security. There's a lot more here, but these people have figured
something. That's a wonderful testimonial. I believe this. This is what I've been preaching for many years. The more you save at a younger age, tell your children, tell your grandchildren.
Shout
I wrote
from
a
the
book
rooftops,
on it, The
yeah.
Savage Truth on Money, which you can give to them. It's meant for 20 and 30-somethings as well as people who are farther along. A little bit of money saved regularly at an early age, even $2,000 a month at the historical average stock market returns, will give you $2.5 million in 50 years. So that's a savage truth.
Good for you, 224.
Post on my blog, by the way, if you have questions unanswered at terrysavage.com.
You're the best, Terry. Enjoy your dinner, okay?
Thank you.